like this close?
No.
That
was very disturbing with the one eyeball that I could see.
I was worried about the up the nose shot that we just spared the internet because we're on our title screen.
Mr. Monocular.
What's everybody doing? People can just hear us on a live stream and they're wondering what's going on. I'm afraid to show my face. Did everyone have a good Christmas?
Amazing. Best Christmas yet.
Do you ever walk up to somebody, like a coworker, after Christmas and say, you have a good Christmas? They go, yeah. Does anyone go, no? Jesus, why did you ask me? No, I did not have a good Christmas.
Yes, I have had somebody do that to me.
I felt like doing that this year. For me was bonkers.
Was it bad? I was working at the Source, and I asked somebody, it was after the holidays, it was Boxing Day, and I asked them if they had a good Christmas, and they were like, no. My brother died.
Yeah. Rob, you want to mute up while you're adjusting that? All I can hear is something.
What do you say to that? Like,
sorry, mine rocked. Come over to my house for New Year's and we'll drink your cares away. I had the weirdest Christmas. First of all, as you know, my son-in-law, Jay Tamlin, who is present, has kidnapped my daughter. Hasn't given ransom yet, but he's taken her to Japan and they are 14 hours in the future. And I haven't seen my daughter in several months. And the two of them weren't at my parents' house where we have Christmas. So that was strange. My son is in college now at 19 and comes home. So to sort of see him like a visiting relative, you know, as opposed to having him in the house all the time and then just having him pop up just in time for Christmas and is bizarre. My parents are getting older, so my brother's taking up the cooking, and to watch my brother kick my mother, who will bake like for 3 days straight and wants to have a big dinner, no matter the fact that our numbers are dwindling going to the house, is a strange kind of family fun. You know, I'll say that. But we made it. We are live streaming. We are still fumbling through the Rollmongers bundle, and we're going to start rotating some shows so that everybody gets a piece of what we're doing. We will always give you Age of Ashes every Friday night, and we will rotate some of our other shows, the more popular ones, bi-weekly and some in different slots. And we have announcements into the new year, some things, some one-shots we're going to work out. But for right now...
Does somebody have the page that I could find your starting equipment chart on?
He says, as we begin a game, how many weeks? How many weeks?
Dude, Christmas. Come on.
There are never enough weeks.
They said I was mad for trying to do all these shows around Christmas, but we have to entertain the people. Think of the fans.
It's true.
Okay, maybe listeners. I don't know. Maybe the statistics that are coming our way are being fudged because, we do really appreciate the handful of fans that actually reach out to us, email us, make comments on our YouTube channel, you know, just let us know you're there and telling us what you like, what you dislike, you know, that kind of thing. We do really appreciate the feedback, and we're hoping to have more in touch with our fans. We have a Discord server now, and our Star Wars fans are flooding in there, but we have lots of shows, lots of different channels in our Discord now, and we'll be putting descriptions and links and invites in our, you know, in our smattering all over the place. Tonight, we are live streaming to twitch.tv/GM's Cut. And if you're not there now, yes, we're periscoping this to Twitter, so we hope you're enjoying it there. We are launching this on YouTube and Facebook and Steam, and we hope you're enjoying it there. But we're really kind of hoping you will double back and join us right here on Twitch, where we can sort of see you pop up and, you know, hopefully help us make affiliate by the new year. Tonight we are running Dice Before Dishonor, another special Echoes of Honor episode. So before we go back deep underground to find out what happened to our Cavaliers that everyone's forgotten about, we dial the clock back to earlier the same day, where a brand new cast of characters at 7th level, using the advanced 2nd edition Pathfinder beta test class book, have come forth with a witch, a swashbuckler, an oracle, an investigator, and a Dwarven Fire, just so they don't get their asses handed to them. But I think Mr. Joe Gibson has made sure that my monsters are official and up for the fight. Mr. Joe Gibson is with us tonight.
Yes, they are. They are. It might be a quick game, but we will find out.
Yeah, it'll be a quick. Well, you know what? if there's a party wipe and we just kind of go, well, what do we expect from a beta test? We will switch this adventure back to first edition and have someone come and save the day. I'm pretty sure Aiden has a first edition 7th level character. He's just dying to play his own Cavalier. But for right now, the scene will descend upon a wonderful, wonderful country of Taldor in the Inner Sea region, falling through, plummeting through the sky, but this time not finding the ghost of a dead Skald, also played by Aidan Williams. And, you know, it just occurs to me, like, I've almost killed Ryan in several games several times, but it's actually Aidan that I've killed and nearly killed the most. I really should shift my focus, you know, to somebody else. Let's see. Who's Frank's shaking his head. No, really. I think it's time that I go after some other, you know, like we're gonna chase after Matt and Frank and Jay and you know, dial it back on poor Ryan and poor Aidan tonight. Rob's too new. You know, he doesn't deserve to be gunned down in his early games gaming life.
Promises.
It is prime, right? Yeah. So, gentlemen, let's pull up a map and see if we can remember where we left off. Because I believe I had you guys sitting finally, like after much debate about a plan to cause a huge explosion and a distraction in the middle of Opera when everyone's so busy and the Lord of the House is probably not there anyway. The Earl, oh geez, his name's kind of right in my head. The Earl Calhedron Verdesunt. If I say it really quickly, it'll almost sound like I remembered it. he has been renting, according to your sources, he has been renting a townhouse and has firmly, after getting his butt kicked out of his little duchy over in Andarion, has been placed in charge of security for the entire gala and has been, like, with generous bribes, has got himself right up Kingsdavian the Third's skirt. And you guys have been asked specifically by the Pathfinder Society, no matter whose faction you represent. Obviously, there has been a little bit of a deal cut between Lady Marilla Guerrilla and Jarlt, but Jarlt Trolltooth of the Vinmark family. Now, the Vinmark family are a bunch of Ulfins from way across, like, let's say Alaska, if this was Galarian and, you know, you just slapped it over top of North America. In the Alaskan part, top left of our, you know, land of the Lenorm Kings. Aiden, am I saying that right? Lenorm Kings. Oh, well, you know what?
I'm almost like
I'm not even making apologies for my lack of knowledge of common tonight. I just did a double shift, so you people get what you get tonight. Way off where the Ulfins breed really tall, blonde-haired, Swedish-type babies, one Bedral Trolltooth decided that upon his honor, he could not go against his lord, but he could double deal and side deal with Lady Marilia's sovereign court faction of the Pathfinders, and in exchange for her sending guys out there and solving some family problems, another adventure earlier on, perhaps we'll touch on it, maybe not, he has finally given the go on giving some vital information that Kingsdavian the Third plans a lot of ill will towards the Senate during this gala, and it is paramount importance that we provide proof to the secret society, the FBI, the NSA, the internal affairs of this country known as the Lion's Blades, who are currently sitting on their asses and don't believe the Pathfinder Society, probably because of a couple of ventures back when they stole some of their stuff. And now, you know, now the CIA and the FBI aren't getting along so well, but, you know, what can you do? So now it's up to us, you specifically, to slip over to the Earl's villa and see if you can't schmooze or sneak or something your way in and find some proof that something bad is going to go down at the gala. The scene goes now to part of the nicer district in Opera, and our heroes stand outside of a villa, save one. The goblin witch known as Melba has already slipped within the compound and given the gardens and grounds a once around with her familiar, a black raven, who she specifically talks to, takes advice from, and is a direct connection not only as a spell book, but to her patron, who she believes not only is the source truly of her power, but cryptically tells her what to do, riddle after riddle, mission after mission, for her to gain more power and to help this patron along. Melba.
Yes, yes.
What is the name of your raven?
The name of my raven? Oh, you mean this flea-ridden pest? I call him Akra.
Akra? And is there meaning behind that name?
He sees all, he knows all.
Oh, sort of like Oculus. Like Oculus Rift, no? No one gets the software, the helmet, the first three. Okay, fine. Try to keep up, people. We're on the internet. I know we're old, we're aging, but fine. Anyway, as you were, Malba.
Yes, yes. Scouting the outside.
Now, does this raven actually, I know it speaks to you, but I'm assuming everyone around it, due to your new advanced character class, specifically the Oracle, specifically the witch, to anyone else, it just sounds like a bird squawking.
Yep, ca-ca, ca-ca.
Okay. So let it be known for the audience, if the characters don't respond, especially try not to meta, if the raven is speaking to Malba, all you guys hear is an upset raven flapping and cawing on her shoulder or flying around, and Melba's talking back to it. Matt Witt is with us tonight playing Malba, the 7th level witch from the advanced playtest beta. Now, it's past December 2nd, all bets are in, but we really wanted to play this out. I really wanted to see if I could get a TPK. I mean, a little bit of, you know, ahead of the game before the books came out and see what's going on. So we've enlisted Joe Gibson, who knows the rules for 2nd edition better than myself, and I've asked him to convert the Lion's Justice Pathfinder Society adventure, which literally sits in the middle of Crownfall for the War for the Crown. Like, we didn't just go off like last time in our prelogue series and just grab something at random that could, like, soak the setting. This is happening on the same day, earlier the same day, that we left our Cavaliers and Samurai in turmoil beneath the Senate. And you already know what's going on there if you've listened to the series. Joining us tonight, playing the dashing swashbuckler traveler, Mr. Jay Tamlin is with us tonight.
Yes, I'm sorry, I was just making sure that I have everything that I will need.
The old inventory check?
Yes, I should be okay at this point, I think.
Yeah, do you care to share? Is there any gear for 7th level that you could tell fans and gamers alike to look forward to, a reason to convert to 2nd edition? That is kind of our end game here with our sponsor and us pushing, you know, this type of thing. Is there any really, really cool ability? Well, maybe you want to save that for later. How about a cool toy for a swashbuckler? Can you give us a taste of anything?
As far as a swashbuckler is concerned, the parry is a good option, but for me personally, I prefer to use a buckler. The options for buckler at the moment are a little limited, but remember to look into the different materials. If you get a buckler with cold iron, it has the same like hardness and hit points as a basic shield, which allows it to last a little bit longer.
So you're saying that the actual minerals and sort of not just everyone goes the go-to of mithril adamantine. They've looked at silver, they've looked at the cold iron, they get a little bit more into what the qualities of those metals do for weapons and shields and such. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, depending on the material, you can have different effects. And there's also, of course, the standard cold iron will work. If you wanted to touch cold iron to a demon, it might hurt. You could you could have it silver and repel various sprites or werewolves.
Cool. Very cool. Revising his role as an investigator from the vaulted dark lands of Ustalof, which I would like to say is somewhere between the mix of like a Transylvania and sort of a nomadic Germany, if I'm not far off. Correct me if I'm wrong on this, Rob. Ustalof. Ryan's character is an investigator from Ustalof, where, you know, it's vampires galore and it's the nobles are, you know, every town is dreary. And I'd call the region sort of a
medieval Romania.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Revising his role as the intrepid investigator, whose name I can never pronounce, Mr. Ryan Messina is with us tonight.
Greetings. And it's Imiter. It's quite simple.
Imiter. Sorry, Mr. Imiter. Now, I believe
it's Mr. Chavendux.
Mr. Chavendux.
You put the Mr. after the surname.
Oh, I see. Okay. Thank you. Well, you're in my country now.
Pleasure.
And the calendar year is 4717. Pathfinder 2nd edition technically doesn't start until 4719, but because this is a beta test, we thought we'd slide it in. I understand recently, back in 4715, you had made it down to the other side of the Inner Sea region and traveled through Osirian.
Yes.
I'm barely made. Yeah, barely made it out alive, but I guess you'll have to check out one of our other shows to learn a little bit more about Emitter's cameos there. Also joining us tonight, we have our future up-and-coming Starfinder GM playing the advanced beta-class Oracle tonight. Mr. Rob Hammond is with us.
Good evening.
Rob, I don't want to burn too much time on this. We had a chance in a previous game that you missed to talk a little bit about the character class. Is there anything about the new Oracle that really stands out as a change from the old that might lure characters into wanting to play, like the Oracle is a must-have to play?
One of the advantages, your spells are slightly more limited, but to become more powerful because you don't have to take heightened versions of them later on. You're automatically given to them because they're divine.
Sorry, I need you a little closer.
Oh, sorry. You know, you don't have to take spell heightening for most of your signature spells. Now you automatically get it. So you don't have a wide list, but your spells tend to be more powerful. And depending upon your mystery, you're given spells atop your daily spells. So you will actually have more spells that are available to you. And some of them will be a higher level. Other than that, you really got to keep track of your mysteries, because the mysteries give you, depending on the class of mystery, there's only three or four now, but they are definitely potent in the terms of, like, for example, a mystery of light, is a study of life or death, depending on how you play your character. I get probably four more hit points a level than other characters. Like, I get a flat amount every level.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so like I said, I mean, even though I'm a halfling, I'm a tough little halfling.
Oh, yeah.
Also remember, there's no allegiance to one god. It's all the divine pantheon of light, if you know any of those gods that have the same motive that you do. That's how it works.
Yeah, Oracle is a spontaneous caster that sort of is chosen, yeah. And you don't have to sort of venerate.
You were chosen by whichever the sphere is. You were chosen. It was dumped on you. You didn't pick to be an Oracle. You simply are. And they decide what spells you get and what spells you can use and what your curse is.
Oh, cool. Very cool. Sounds like some begging and bribing of the GM when you work out these characters with
whoever you play under. There's definitely a knack to it. I've had to go over it a couple of times to get it right. Because if you're not careful, you'll start doubling down.
Okay. Cool. Mr. Frank Hamilton is joining us tonight. Now, you know Frank playing Theoden, the dwarf, in our Smash YouTube hit, the Age of Ashes stream, which is racking up the numbers and views because everyone wants to have a quick peek at second edition and the first major AP to pull out for it, Age of Ashes. And we're doing what we can. As usual, true to Rollmonger style, we didn't put the slap together a generic party like you'd see here, multiple races. We went with a different angle, and we have three brew-loving dwarves have come down to the Five Kings Mountains, and they want to set up a brewery, and they've got swept up in the shenanigans and storyline with sideline party members like a drunken cleric of Caden Calerion, a paranoid old dwarven bard whose memory is lost, a halfling cleric of Desna who, you know, anyway, I digress. Playing his own father. It's not a time loop mystery. Revising his role. If you've listened to the Dice Before Dishonor podcast, a few bonus episodes called Echoes of Honor, Frank has played Theoden Sr., working for the Pathfinder Society, working for the Sovereign Crown, and he was involved in rescuing our wayward samurai when he was trapped and captured by eco-terrorists, if you can remember.
Hey, that was a way long time ago. But yes, here I am, playing me own da. I'm the Elder Theoden.
Now, chronologically, it's only 2 years apart, but imagine a dwarf beyond his prime, a good 200 years this time around, 7th level, as opposed to the young, you know, barely tweeny, barely college age, you know, full of piss and vinegar dwarf coming out. So, does the apple fall far from the tree? Are we only going to see subtle differences in these characters? Or is it all going to be lost in that magnificent Scottish accent that fans are already raving about?
Well, I don't know yet, but I know that my son calls me old creaky knees from time to time, but only when he's out of eyeshot. Otherwise, I'll be taking a lick to him.
So, have I missed anyone? Five. Four new and one classic dwarven fighter, just for a little bit of oomph. So the TPK, you know, doesn't look too intentional. I don't want to, like, wipe them out in the first encounter. And And Joe Gibson in the house as Rules Lawyer and helping me run some monsters as I run the story. Gentlemen, welcome to Echoes of Honor, the second part of our Vance Beta playtest and yet another Dice Before Dishonor episode, which, by the way, is our top podcast show. Because Age of Ashes, as well as it's doing, is doing very well for a different audience. But we're going to try and even the odds, make everything popular as we can everywhere. So if you, if you're interested in watching a game board and looking at our drooling faces on the internet, come to Twitch, watch us on YouTube. If you enjoy driving in your car and wondering why the compression of my voice is so much better than the softness of Jay Tamlin's because he's in Japan, come on, folks, give us a break. We're doing what we can on the technical here. We're always trying to improve. Then listen there, because our podcasts are everywhere. Google Play, Spotify is huge for us right now. We are on Stitcher. We are on Spreaker. We are on SoundCloud. We are on iTunes. We're everywhere. Everywhere. Deezer, Podcast Addict, your personal podcast platform. I bet you we're there. Look for Rollmongers, Rollmongers Network, Dicewise Entertainment. You'll find us, and I hope that you'll enjoy us in the new year. But for right now, the scene descends upon a mostly quiet noble villa in the heart of Opera, in the country of Taldor, in the Inner Sea region, on the world of Galorian, in space, somewhere. Gentlemen, I present you with an unlocked gate and Melba returning from some quick reconnaissance with her raven flittering about in the area. What do you do?
Well, I look to the other two. Hey, which one of you is the unlocker? I doubt they've left that door open for us to go striding on into.
Locks only keep the honest out.
I do believe they did just we opened the gate so that Melba could go and look through with the bird. Melba, did you find anything then?
Melba's muted.
Yes, 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 of course. Let's see what I've seen. Okra, look around. Find an entrance.
So, skills, perception. Perception of 23.
Okay. Can you actually see through the bird's eyes? Is that an ability you have?
Not at this point. I could probably invest in it, but...
Okay. Okra flies off to the main building and alights on the edge of the brown reddish tile roof and starts pecking at the eaves trough right above the main doors.
We do have a mind link. Pecking at the eaves trough above the main doors.
Yep, you said find an entrance. Is Okra a boy raven or a girl raven?
Okra? Well, I've never asked.
In this day and age, Okra's allowed to be anything it wants to be. Sorry. That's kind of a loaded question.
I'd say Okra's a she.
Okay.
If you've got to choose the pronoun.
Considering I can do the voice, thanks.
You're welcome.
Thanks a crap ton. That's fine. That's fine. We'll figure something out. So let me just quickly call.
Ravens sound pretty well the same either way, so you should be good.
They're pretty good. So guys, the gate is unlocked. Melba returns from reconnaissance. Bird goes off. What do you guys want to do?
Let's make our way in.
Are we taking the stealth approach, where you get to roll your stealth, or are you guys just kind of walking in like you're expected or looking for an appointment?
Well, I've got nothing but dwarven stealth.
I change my the clothing that I'm wearing to look a lot more of the look of a noble from perhaps. Oh, let's go with Andoran to the north.
Oh, okay. So, do you have 75 silver pieces you're willing to drop, as in 75 gold, for said noble outfit? Is this in your gear?
Oh, no. My armor is glamoured, so I can spend an action to just shift my armor to look like something like other forms of clothing.
Okay. I gotcha. Very cool. All right. So, what are we looking at here? We have a goblin. We have a swashbuckler who appears to be human. And now Andorian nobility. Yeah,
you do. If you looked closely, you could see his ears are slightly odd.
Are you half elf?
I am indeed a half elf.
Okay, just between you, me, and the audience. Don't worry. You know, we won't brag about it. We have a dwarf. We have a human from Ustalaf. And sort of, we kind of skipped over Rob really quick. We have a halfling oracle who you guys know and was sort of late to the appointment, but he is part of your group. He was summoned by the Pathfinders, and he caught up with you guys on the street, letting you know what held him up. Anything special about our little halfling? Could you describe him for you, us, please, Rob? As close to the mic as you can.
Oh, he's 2 feet and 11 inches tall. Sandy brown hair. Generally with a worried look on his face. But other than that, I'm just dressed cleanly. Normal robe, adventurer's pack, and a halfling sling staff.
Okay. How does he feel about coming to a country where halflings are second-class citizens and often only employed as servants? You see this everywhere you go. I'm not saying they're slaves, but, you know, that's the class, the social caste is definitely...
Because of my mystery, the way I look at the world, it's a really big world. I mean, people are going to live how they're going to live. I don't take it personally.
Okay.
I'm more disaffected than anything else. Like I said, I've wandered all over the world. That's what I do.
Okay. All right. Well, like I said, just bear in mind that you're in Tal'Dor, and this is how they see, you know...
Well, if anybody asks, I'm just a foot servant to one of the more acceptable races.
Yeah, well, like I said, goblins are brand new on the scene, you know, barely signed the Constitution, grew a little bit taller, and now we have Melba in one game, we have Auk in another, and, you know, we're all supposed to suddenly not be racist or trust them with fire, all those goblin-y things.
Goblins are huge compared to me.
Yeah, really. Melba towers over you, making you eat the toast, whether you want to or not. So, gentlemen, the grid is yours. You know, head on in. I shall place the bird. He is over here at the top center of the map. Coming into the compound from the bottom left, shall we say the southwest, a high polished wall splits off into two different directions. On your right is a long, low building, obviously a stable, which is a good 100 feet long. In the center of the courtyard, large gardens, shrubberies, and a pool filled with goldfish lined with a brilliant white and blue tile in the center. The entire courtyard itself is about 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, about 120 feet across. A horseshoe-shaped, a U-shaped building breaks the wall and sort of takes its place. So the wall doesn't surround the entire building. It's almost like the wall goes up to the bottom of the U, and then the building wall juts out either side, making the sort of back wall bigger, and comes up and around with a large brown and red tiled roof. We see no caretaker. We see no servants, except for a single halfling you noticed is standing near a gate underneath an awning that, like, our bird is over top of the entrance. He's kind of standing to the side. And he doesn't look like he's lounging. And it doesn't look like he's attention. It just looks like he's waiting. What do we want to do, gentlemen?
So, quick question to my companions here. Do we happen to remember the name of the account that we are visiting? And much from this, from the discussion before we left?
Well, all I think we're supposed to do is get damning evidence on the Stepien.
Yeah, surely some.
I'll make an attempt to recall that knowledge.
Okay.
Oops, that's not it. There it is. Ha ha. 22.
Okay.
Intelligence check to recall knowledge.
I put it in the Zoom chat.
Shabba to do. Who you say? The Earl! The Earl! Calhalion Vernissant!
Hey, they're all the same to me. One rich human's another.
They're not all the same.
Right. Earl Calhalion Vernissant. Then, in that case...
Perhaps that one servant over there might have some knowledge of where people are in this establishment.
Certainly, but I don't... From my understanding and observations of the town so far, we shouldn't directly address the servant. We are here for a job. We are here... As invitees by the Earl, perhaps we happen to have connections to an external security force. they were increasing their security for the capital. Perhaps at some point a letter was got lost along the way, on its way to...
In reply.
Indeed.
And we are representing said mercenary force with available bodies for hire. At times of securities and festivities, how could one argue for more security? Especially at an affordable rate. If only we could have a meeting with this Earl.
Oh yes, this must be discussed directly with the Earl. Security matters are quite private. Well, shall we?
Indeed. So is the map up right now, or are we all doing theater?
No, it's up.
Okay. Which map is it?
The Noble Estate map.
Ah, very good.
I have shared it through Fancy Grounds. You can see it?
Now I see it. It's just popped up.
Okay.
Ah. Very well. Yes, I accompany Trevor there over to what I assume would be the front of the manor.
Yes. Directly above the pool, above the hedge, is a black dot on the edge of the... see this here?
Caw-caw?
Yeah. I guess we got to rename him. So as you guys drift your way through the grounds...
Purpose and intention.
Oh, okay. As you guys roll through the grounds... We notice that you see, you know, small avian creatures, little birds, hopping around the bushes and having a good time. It's an open air courtyard, you know, to let nature in. It's in the nice part of town. No gardener, but upon closer inspection, you notice that the halfling at the gate is wearing a smart little tunic uniform and is wearing tan gloves. He steps forward with a curt bow and just sort of motions for you to come closer towards the gate, greeting you.
And following his motions, we go towards in.
Okay. He pulls the gate aside and motions for you all to immediately enter the villa, unimpeded.
We walk in.
Okay. You immediately find yourselves in a meeting room, and just let me quickly change the map here for you. Find yourself in a meeting room. Lavish rugs and velvet couches fill this large square entry chamber. Sturdy oak doors open to the north, and curtains covering adjoining hallways to the east and the west that lead off into separate areas of the villa. A central brazier burns with magical fire, filling the room with cheerful delight. Now, take note, gentlemen, that this map here that I'm sharing with you is sort of reversed. It's upside down of what you guys walked into. Like, you notice, if you look at the wall carefully, you can see the garden and the pool is at the top of the map instead of the bottom of the map.
Gotcha.
Now, I should be able to, really quickly, while I'm just setting this up, okay? The halfling comes in behind you. Says, please, be seated anywhere. I shall call the Chamberlain for you immediately, gentlemen. And he, you know, he runs off through a sidewall and leaves you guys to inspect the room. And like I said, lavish furniture, certainly no lack of place to sit.
I wander around the room.
Okay.
Taking it in. Putting out the vibe.
Putting out the vibe.
No. But definitely, both hands behind the back, kind of analytically sizing up the room, estimating the price of the whole shebang.
Oh, there is definitely... what do you got?
Platinum?
You're talking about looking around, but I've got Frank rolling for his dwarf, so...
I am also having a look around.
Also for platinum.
Okay.
Yep.
Starting in the center of the room, we're looking at a brazier that is slightly off-center towards the door. It is flanked on four diamond corners by lavish 10-foot-long red velvet couches. Interspaced between the couches are two red and two mauve rugs. There are side tables, coffee tables, and some adjoining chairs scattered about. At the back of the room, on a raised dais, are two more couches and a small circular rug tucked under a little 2 foot of each side. As I said, there are exits to the left and to the right, east and west. There's the way you came in. There's a couple of adjoining doors on your right to that lead off into separate rooms, and beautiful mounted cavalier full horse terracotta statues flanking the back of the room. And these things have been chipped down to a micro detail. You know, the famous alabaster white statues like David and done by Da Vinci, or not Da Vinci. Is it Da Vinci? Who makes all the sculptures in Rome?
Michelangelo.
There's no eyes and everything, but they put in creases in the face, and you know, the wrists are subtle and everything. And this, you know, this horse and rider and weapon and everything are detailed quite nicely. Wouldn't be surprised if took someone quite, like, you know, the most rich artisan, you know, paid a lot of coin for this, or you know, cheat and use magic, who knows. They are probably one of the most striking, besides the large, like 10-foot, I'm talking like 10-foot wide, coal-based, happily burning and filling up the room with a pleasant scent. They got the aromatherapy going and everything, while you're waiting to be attended by the Chamberlain themselves, wandering the room.
Well, Melba's not going to wander. She's going to open up her cloak and call Okra into the cage she keeps under it, and then shuffle up onto one of the red couches and just have a seat. Dangling okay. Little features.
Okay.
Well, I do believe that our mission here was to find evidence. Is there someone that would like to take this chance to take a look?
So you guys just want to casually roam around, but it's like start flipping over little toy boxes and like anything that's openable in the room. You guys are just doing the do-do-do-do. Oh, I was just checking out this candy bowl. You know.
Are there any servants in the room?
Well, there was, but he said he's left to go get the Chamberlain.
There's one.
Yes, maybe I wasn't clear enough. I was suggesting that there is, by the looks of it, two doors in this room.
Oh, there's several doors.
Well, one of the other ones.
Yeah.
You guys, well, you were asked to wait and be seated. You guys just want to like start wandering off up into different rooms?
Oh, the majority of us would stay.
Okay. So who's sneaking off looking for the toilet? Oh, I'm sorry. I just thought I could pee in this corner. You know what? I'm sure you'll have your own excuses. They're far better than anything I provide for you.
Nope, peeing in the corner. That's canon.
I'll move up and kind of make myself comfortable on one of the couches facing the fire, but making sure that I'm kind of eyeballing these two terracotta monsters in the corner there, because I don't trust them as far as I can spit.
Chevalier, if I wasn't mistaken, but the servant just left without taking any drink order.
That was indeed quite rude of him.
Allow me. You would take the usual, I'm assuming.
Of course.
There is the proverbial bar in the corner, like, you know, the table with the not sifters, what do they call them? The clear crystal, you know, you have to guess what the
decanters.
Little, thank you. The
certainly
decanters that they've,
is,
you know.
There may be, but that is certainly not sufficient for an ambassador.
Allow me. I'm assuming if the Chamberlain's direction is that way, the kitchen is in the opposite direction. I will go find it.
It is greatly appreciated.
My pleasure, friend. If you'll excuse me. And I exit through the opposite door that the servant went through.
He's going to find trouble.
That's fine. We're going to go round for round here. And we will take stock of what Elmeter does on his own, right? But you are, you know, you're a guest in the house, wandering, looking for the kitchen. It's, you know, I don't see, what's he going to do? Get scolded? Or, you know, I see where we're, you know, trying to go for this. I mean, you guys were totally asked specifically, you know, by a spy network. Oh, hey, guys, you know, by the way, would you mind not poking around, you know, anything you can. So as we loudly going, drinks, yes, let me get you a drink. Exit stay late. You know, I see where we're going with this. This is fine. What I'm having trouble with, though, is I am missing. I don't see Melba in the character list here. I'm trying to get you guys up and running. Oh, there you are. Okay. So while our Ustalov investigator runs off to Nudgewink investigate quietly, and we've got the dwarf, you know, testing the cushions, as it were, one by one, Yes, no, maybe so.
Oh, I'm making myself quite at home. Just in case someone were to spill in, I would be ready. And I'll kick my feet up onto the cushion. And
okay. Anything you guys wish to privately discuss while the GM is having trouble here?
You guys go look that way. I'll make myself at home. That'll throw him off.
I believe that I'm planning that I should be joining you.
Come on, guys. You're always bitching that I hog the mic.
I find what we're looking for.
I suppose, but at the same time, we're waiting to, like, we're not really at a position where we can just kind of not, like,
I don't know what's going on here.
We need a little more input to...
I'm completely distracted by Fantasy Grounds trying to stock the character list, and it's not working for me. And I really hate going into, you know, technical mode when I'm trying to run a show. So, by all means...
Was there anything specific we were told to look for?
Banning evidence.
Of what?
The plan to, you know, the big murder fest that's going
right.
to...
Right, okay, yep.
Yeah,
he says the place is going to get slaughtered. So, like, you know, how does one prove of the impending...
Well, you find his study where he would be taking meticulous notes in a journal.
For the murder journal.
For PCs to find that's got all of them damning quotes and stuffs.
And where they are, the exact location of these people too would be nice.
I would think that the bed chambers.
This is what I'm having trouble with. This is what I'm having trouble with. I can't seem to populate people.
I'll be thinking that the master's chambers are in the same direction that yonder halfling strode off into. So if one of you sneaky types wants to head that way, we could definitely kill two birds with one stone. Perhaps.
That's the chamberlains.
As far as myself is concerned, I will try my best to distract the chamberlain. Perhaps it would be. Would not be averse to providing a nice tour of the facilities, with, of course, lots of questions. Certainly, I would like to hear more about these statues of knights in this far corner over here, where the rest of the room is out of sight.
The gold piece says that one there on the left tries to kill you. Two gold says they both try. At some point in time.
Are you talking about the statues in the back of the room?
The meticulously crafted statues that will in no way spring to life to jab a lance through you.
I know. That's not suspicious at all. Yeah, I know. A standard D&D thing. Like, no one ever trusts any kind of sculpted statue ever.
But that looks that good.
No, it is the only object they shouldn't.
they did give a
paragraph description, whereas the rest of the room got a sentence.
You're surrounded by opulence, yet these suspicious as hell clay statues stand out to you, carved with beady eyes glaring through what appears to be functional armor.
I never said functional. These things are made of terracotta stone, all one piece. Yeah. You know.
Do you think the chambers are on this floor or another?
I'll find out.
Well, I'll take off in the southerly direction then. If he would have gone west.
At this point, I've pretty much given up on the combat chart. There'll be no combat that you can muster at this time.
Hooray!
We win.
Oh no!
You hear that, guys? They surrendered.
Nope. The whole place just rolls over.
Well, we're like you said. Ryan's going to get his wish. You're going to be it's going to be controlled by yours truly and a lot of theater of the mind. So. Placing your minis on the map, but as you can see, there's no green square indicating underneath them that they are party friendly or part of the mechanic. So we're just going to have to go with, you know, what we can. The show must go on. You guys do have control of these minis, but, you know, they're not going to automatically roll dice or any of that cool stuff, because for some reason it won't let me do that.
That's fine.
So, starting with the man in the hat, where did you go? Off to find a kitchen.
Yes. Man in the hat. Sure.
But your mini has a hat.
I do not.
Well, that's now cool. You do.
Boom.
Now
I must
you
be
do.
A wizard. Look what I made up here.
Yes.
Diamond.
Two archways left and right with curtains and several doors that you can barely see on the map because the wall makes them look solid. And then in front of it's like a little gold square, but those are actual doors going off or panels. And then, you know, you have to go through them through side rooms. Which way do you wander off to? East, west?
The chaplain went to the east.
He went to the west.
I go east.
Okay.
Yoink.
So, heading east, you come to a room, and it's like a little side. There's like a little shrine, and there's a single statue glaring, menacing at you, almost looking back. Why, when you're not looking at it directly, you think the statue was so lifelike. But I digress. All right. To your south, a chamber. Yes. To your north, a hallway revealing several chambers.
I try the door to my south.
Okay.
Yoink.
You step into a private bedroom with table, fireplace, ornate bed, and, you know, the proverbial check the hall, look around. No one sees you. No one stops you.
How fancy?
Very fancy.
Very fancy. All right. I toss the room quickly.
We just start ripping open things and flipping over cushions. And...
Not like a barbarian.
Oh, not ransack the room. Just quickly. Where's the safe? Where's the documents? Where's the locked? You know,
if I had damning evidence, where would I hide it?
Where would you hide it? Well, where would you? In your bedroom. That's this nice.
Between the mattresses, so your mom doesn't find it.
Right, with your porn. All right. He tosses the bed. Meanwhile, backing up time, Elmeterra had just left. As we're having to recover, Elder Theoan, as is stated on the mini, is bouncing up and down on the cushion, like so ready to be greeted by someone. And I believe the halfling wanted to wander off in some direction.
That is correct. Like, I'm just a little diminutive thing, and I think I have the only thief skills in the party. So,
we got a big voice. I need you in on that mic.
Oh, sorry.
Till you get your phone up. That's better.
Yeah. No. Like,
can you bring the mic closer to you? Like, I notice you're doing this when you come back. Like, this is what we're hearing. You know, it's like, where's your mic, man?
Yeah, I tried to
work in progress.
I tried to do what you suggested I do, and I broke something. So I had to do a quick adjustment just before we got online. I had it set up differently before we started.
For right now, it's the lean in.
Yeah. So what I was going to say is, what direction did nobody go in?
Which direction nobody went in? Yep. Back outside. There's a back wall. There's a to the left where Elmeterra wandered off to. There's a right where the halfling went, and that's the, you know, that's it.
I'm going to follow after the halfling.
Okay.
Do you roll stealth?
Yes, I do.
Okay, I'll let you do it then.
It is done. Off you go. A hallway. Well, funny enough, as you can see on the map here, is practically identical. It's a side chamber made to look fancy with little tables with vases on them, little glaring, menacing, lovely statue of Illmater at the back. Not shrine-like, but definitely like, oh, you know, we're going to put more art here with a religious significance. Lovely rugs, more panels and old fogies painted on the wall, and two doors, one to your north, one to your south. Not sure exactly where the halfling went from here.
Is there evidence of a stairwell or anything?
Nope.
Because I meant to ask when we approached the house, is it a single-story dwelling?
Yes.
Okay, then I
might have a basement, but as far as you can tell from the height of the roof in this U-shaped building, it's one story here.
I'll take the north door then.
Okay. You step through the north door, and I'll stop you there for a moment. Gentlemen in the room. I believe there was a bet going on, something about Travelor inspecting the statues. Sorry, Theoan?
I said I was just going to bet that thing tries to kill him at some point in time.
No, I want to redial the conversation you guys started while I was banging my fists on my keyboard trying to make this work. You just bet.
I thought
Travelor was wandering around looking at something, right?
Oh, no, I was not wandering. I was implying that the Chancellor would be a wonderful guide of this beautiful estate. Perhaps he could, at some point when he gets here, I could inquire upon him of the nature of these statues while moving him into the corner out of eyesight of the rest of, like, the room.
Oh, okay.
Trying to subtly imply that I could perhaps distract the Chancellor.
I see. And while you're getting the guided tour, the odd number of us, you know, wander off.
Indeed.
Melba.
Yes, yes.
Orca does not like going in her cage. She's fidgety and squawking and chanting again the proverb, the prophecy, the spew of cryptic that brought you here?
Three cats, three flames, three lives. One cat white, one cat brown, one cat dead. Three cats, three flames, three lives. Where there is opulent decadence.
And she just repeats it. That clue that you received weeks ago brought you to Taldor, where the standard of the country literally is a pale white lion wearing a crown on a blue and green field with a large crown above it, the symbol of Taldor.
Yep.
Melba is happy to know that once you got here, Akra calmed down a bit and stopped going on and on and on about it, repeating it over and over once you crossed into the border. But then you started looking around, found yourself in Opera, and once you crossed through the lion's gates, she shut up. So you know you're getting warmer, but now you're here, you took on a mission, and you're trying to get to the heart of, what your Patreon wants versus your own, your own interests. And, you said send the kid to the room, and it's like, starts throwing a little fit, and starts going on with the cryptic message from the patron again.
Three cats, three flames, three lives, one pale, one brown, one dead, in the land of decadence and opulence.
Quiet now. Stay calm.
All right.
What has you troubled, my little pretty? Shall we have a look about?
And I'll get up and play hot and cold game with my my semi-agitated familiar.
Well, you got to the door, and it's like in your cage, into the cat box, as it were. We're going inside where you can't just roam and flit around. And she just got stuffed in the cage, said nothing. You sit on the couch for like 2 minutes, and then all of a sudden she just starts going off like, nope, I've had enough. Take the blanket off. Let's go. Squawky, squawk, squawk, squawk. Travelor and Theon, you notice that suddenly, for no reason, the bird suddenly has a fit inside this cage. It was fine for 2 minutes. And Melbus picks her up and just starts walking around, like a canary in a mine, sniffing corners with this thing. But it's our halfling, Allendale, who walks into a room that has a tall woman in her prime from Garundi with her dark skin, fine dress, and spectacles down upon her nose, speaking with the very servant that let you in here. They are mid-conversation. You walk into the door, or you slip into the door, but they see it open because it's such a small room. And they stop talking and just turn towards you.
I'm very, very sorry to disturb you, but they were wondering if you could bring some more drinks to them. They didn't get a chance to request any refreshments. If you could.
The woman turns a sharp glance at the halfling, who winces apologetically and says, "At once, my lady." And turns to you and nods and goes running past you. You guys in the room see a servant briskly cross right to left to the way Ilmater went in a hurry. A little halfling on a mission.
As he goes skirting past me, yep, in a very quiet voice in halfling, I'm going to say, "The study?"
The what?
Inquisitively, just ask him just to say, "The study?" Master's hand. Okay.
Like, where is it kind of thing?
Yeah, just kind of go, "The study," and kind of look up.
Okay. He just squints his eyes at you and shakes his head no quickly, like, no. 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 I'm already in shit, buddy. You already got me shit once. Anyway, the woman draws herself up to her full height and says, "I am sorry for the delay. Please." And she escorts you into the room. Gentlemen, a tall Garundi woman opens her arms wide as she steps into the room and greets you, asking, "Gentlemen, welcome to the Vernissant Estate. Please, what is your business here? I'm afraid the master is absent. I am Iona Eckhart, and I am at your service," she says with a stately bow. The woman is Garundi, but does not have much of a Garundi accent. This woman obviously has lived abroad and studied abroad and is trying very hard to maintain a Taldorian accent and demeanor. She is late 20s, early 30s, has slick black hair with a little Superman curl. Not unattractive, very thin grandma gold rimmed glasses halfway down her nose, wearing a pale teal doublet shirt and sort of a jacket of a royal blue, and does not seem disposed to toss you guys out. Like, you know, just, she obviously doesn't expect you, but, you know, she is treating you like you're supposed to be here, but is asking, you know, what do you want? Pretty much.
Well, it is wonderful to finally be addressed. My name is Travalar. I'm one of the ambassadors from Andoran.
She crosses the room and extends her hand in greeting. Like a lady, fingers down, but doesn't expect you, obviously, to kiss it, but shake it in a feminine style.
Oh, I probably would.
Okay. She, even through her dusky skin, you see a bit of a blush, and she looks at you slyly up through long eyelashes and says, Monsieur Traveler, it is a pleasure, she says, practically imitating your accent. I wouldn't say perfectly, but she doesn't mean an insult. It's just an attempt at making you more comfortable. Guessing where you're from, wherever your accent may be from, in a language difference, she switches to a greeting in said language, where you might be from or where you claim you are from. A pleasure. But please, where are my manners? And she claps her hands. Hopefully that's enough time that a halfling went off and, you know, got something. Sure enough, shortly after she claps, and then a small frown, and she goes over to a table and rings a bell. Several halflings emerge, and they bring drinks and tarts, you know, munchies. And they come, and they, you know, some of them are in kitchen garb, like the little aprons and stuff, like fresh out of the kitchen. Some are dressed like servants. And they come marching out, and they, you know, they place down trays. First, they come right to you guys and offer them, holding them out.
I'll take the tray. Set it down on the little table in front of me.
Okay. There's like a halfling and a tray for each of you, like two and enough trays to like that. There's like a little tray of munchies within easy reach of each of the four couches. And they just lay it out like there are more guests or there could be more guests. You know what I mean? Akra continues to babble on, Melba. And, you know, the halflings and Iona try to politely not notice, but she's just squawkity squawk, squawk, squawk. One white, one brown, one dead. And just seems to become more and more agitated. She does this whenever you 180 from the patron's mission, or sometimes, not always, usually when it's a 180 from the patron's mission, that's like 9 times out of 10. But one time out of 10, the bird goes off for no good reason. Sometimes danger, sometimes the bird is just, you know. So even splitting that 1 in 10 chance in half, I won't say the bird's an early warning system. But if you look back in your 7 levels, right, 9 times out of 10, whenever you're doing something that's like a 180 from what the patron wants, she goes nuts, right? Once in a while, she just goes off for no reason, just being a weird animal. And there's nothing. Nothing happens that day. Nothing happens to you. But once in a while, within that 1 to 10 ratio, she goes off and has warned you from impending danger.
See, that's what I appreciate in a God-touched bird. Inconsistency.
Hush, 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 Akra. Hush. You're causing a scene. Perhaps I should take you where there are less people.
The bird immediately shuts up and tucks her wing, beak embarrassingly under her wing. Akra loves people. Loves an audience. A worse threat you could not derive for this bird alone on the road with you.
That's right, that's right. Be calm. Be calm. Speak with your eyes, not with your beak.
She just looks at you. Like, how the hell am I supposed to do that? You're giving the bird a riddle, dude. To like, it starts scratching its head with its wing, like, how the hell am I supposed to do that? But you shut up the bird, calms down. Anyway, tarts and drinks for all, gentlemen. And Iona actually is pleased because apparently they've brought out some really decent stuff, you know. Ah, Chelish Raven Cake, cut into cubes, she says. And she starts going on through the delicacies.
That did you even, say Raven Cake?
Yeah, Chelish Raven Cake, imported during the festival. Angel kebabs and skewers and, you know, the type of thing, only instead of serving them traditionally, like as those meals, they've cut them, diced them, and put them in those little tiny muffin papers. So you can have them like tarts, as well as actual pastry tarts on these trays.
Okay.
Anyway, she's like, oh, jealous raven cake. And she seems happy that someone's cut up a cake into tiny little samples, and she starts eating some and, you know, has something to drink. And
I'll kind of nod my head while picking up one of these raven cakes. Hopefully that's just a name, right, Melba? I'll eat it because these are delicious.
Akrit just glares at you, head down, shoulders coming up like, how could you?
You know what they say about the way a noble treats his guests? Hey, the fancier the treat, the more respected he is. Anyway, back on to pressing business. Travelor, explain to the woman why we're here.
Ah, yes, well, we are here to address the Earl. Do you happen to know when he will be back? When can we expect him?
Yes, I do apologize. She goes over to a side table, like a little writing desk, and picks up a book, like an appointment book, flips open pages and scans through it as she walks about the room in a slow circle. And she says, I cannot speak for the master. However, in his absence, I can certainly take all of your information, all your inquiries, in this appointment book and make an appointment for you in the coming weeks.
Oh, I'm afraid that the coming weeks would be problematic. We were sent an envoy asking about if we could add for the assistance. I believe the Earl was sending out messages for looking for extra personages for the the upcoming event. My understanding of it was that he was in charge of security and was thus increasing the security force. We were sent a message asking if we would, if Andorian would participate and lend his assistance.
Oh, I see. Ah, well, anyway, taking the distracted moment to stuff a yonder tart, politely and daintily in a chipmunk cheek, and using the book to hide that she's munching on it, flipping through, looking for anything, any notes in here about Andoran. Like, she starts going backwards. Like you said, we've been expected. We were asked, you know, like this was all in the past and here we are to honor that deal. She starts flipping backwards through the book, looking for names under, you know, under what the Lord, you know, like asking you questions, you know.
And while she's doing that, but unfortunately, before we get down to business, I simply must ask. See, the statues down in the corner over there, was he perhaps, and then going to give a knowledge society role, maybe? Sure. Trying to figure out, like, where could they have been from that I don't sound like a nincompoop?
Oh, okay. So you take some educated guess of, like, artisans that are famous in Tal'Dorei in the area, where they could be imported from, all imports come through Caladan. Yeah, like, I get it. Yeah, sure, go ahead. While he's doing that, meanwhile, Ilmater. Sorry, distracted. All so much scrolls and porn in this mattress. Like, you lost yourself for a moment. But yeah, back on task. Nothing but personal items in the mattress.
Yeah.
What do you want to do?
Two things. One, there's no L in Emitter. You're mistaking me for a god from another realm, I believe.
Oh, I thought you'd like that. Emitter. I guess it doesn't matter.
There you go. Secondly, there's a really cool investigator feat which I have, which I thought you should be made aware of.
Yes, please.
It's called On the Scene.
Right.
When you enter a new location, such as a room or a corridor, you immediately notice one thing out of the ordinary. Jim determines what it is or whether there's nothing reasonable to pick up. They skip obvious clues, ones that can easily notice without a check, and you find out only the ones in the area or object is suspect, not why it's suspicious. For example, if you enter a study with a large bloodstain on the ground, the bloodstain is so obvious, suspicious, it's evident to you already. So the GM might note that there's something suspicious about the desk drawer instead. You would then need to investigate the drawer further to find out what specifically is out of the ordinary. You don't determine whether creatures are suspicious with on the scene. You don't typically get any benefit when you leave and come back to a place, though if a major change has happened there and time has passed, the GM might determine that you do.
Okay. You were armed with the knowledge specifically that he was renting a villa. He's living here. And it is expensive and lavish and furnished. And of course, he's brought personal belongings. But this is a privately owned villa of some lord or whatever that, you know, he's renting or borrowing, and it's pre-furnished or whatever. So what you want to look for is something that doesn't belong specifically to the tastes of the original lord. Building a theory from the front gate, looking at how the garden is arranged, then coming into the very OCD room with angular carpets, almost perfectly arranged, matching colors, sitting opposite each other, and then coming down to what you could guess is a master bedroom, or at least every bedroom in here is this opulent. Tossing the room. Now, you haven't been gone very long. Tossing the room, just to be sure, the only thing out of place is said porn, and was probably left here by a previous lord that, again, didn't own the place, but was a guest and had to leave and then just couldn't, you know, be seen, or the servants forgot it. You know what I mean? Hmm. But as far as Earl himself, what you've been told about him or this place, you'd have to say that you have thoroughly once over the room and beyond. That scroll's a keeper. I'll tell you that. But other than that.
Yeah. Okay. I exit said room.
Okay.
Wait. I listen at the door first before I exit.
Okay. You hear the hustle and bustle of doors opening and halflings murmuring in their own language back and forth up and down the hallway. You know, the servants are a chain of people back and forth.
Like it's a continual? No break?
Oh, yeah. No, there will be a break. I'm just saying, because you paused at the door, you are aware of movement and voices in the other room. Okay. What do you want to do?
I wait till there is no sound of movement.
Okay. Let's say you're stuck there. You come at the time, like you get caught up to us at the time where they were bringing the stuff in, making sure everybody's served. Then they retreat and you know, are confident that you will be able to slip out of the room. And that catches you up in time to her flipping through the book and all the time we've spent in the main room. While this is going on, now the halfling was sent back, and she directly took Allendell with her. But Allendell, as soon as she entered the room, her focus lifted from you and immediately went to the dwarf and the half-elf. She's pointedly aware, because you can tell her cringing and twitching about the bird and the goblin in the corner, but prefers to address the, you know, the higher races, and seems to be taking, for a moment, not much notice of you as her face is in a book. What are you doing while this is all going on?
I notice her do that because that's what I was hoping for. She thinks I'm a servant.
Yep.
I'm just going to wander back off again.
Okay. Did you want to slide?
I know she left that room empty. Yep. I want to go examine that room.
Okay. You find, as you suspect, her office. It's like a set up like a parlor with two couches that face each other and a table and a fireplace in the back, but not shown on the map. Somebody has substituted some of the chairs and tables with like a desk has been brought in, and it's covered in papers and, you know, Chamberlain stuff, going about appointments and all this kind of thing. Now, you left. So let's say you didn't know about the whole Travelore and the muffins and the food, the tart, and the appointment book that was left out there. What she was currently working on just seems to be a bunch of red tape. It's costs and, you know, like just going on about, you know, I mean, there's a lot to kind of look through. You don't know what you're going to know until you see it, kind of thing. Right. But there's a lot of paperwork for Chamberlain to keep busy. And it looks like she is, you know, secretary/accountant/everything.
Hidden drawers. I'll use my thieving skill.
Okay.
To see if there's any hidden drawers in the desk.
All right. So while you're examining, let's say again, we caught up to you. You slipped away early,
mm-hmm.
and your examination, you're looking for, you know, that type of thing. Before I reveal that, if there is any, let's say we catch you up in time. But I will owe you some time to the present. What's going on in the main room? Because Imitar, you slip back into the room, or do you want to wander off into the kitchens?
I wander off towards the kitchens.
Okay. The hustle and bustle. You coming up to these rooms?
Mm-hmm.
Seems to come from the right, not the left.
Pop open the left.
Okay. A small bedchamber, small beds, servants' quarters. Very close to the kitchen.
Was there
a pantry?
Anything stand out?
Mostly non-perishables, or perishables that have a long lifespan, like cheese and, you know.
All right. Again, less.
Okay, more bedchambers.
Again.
Prime bedchambers.
And down at the end of the door?
Some sort of small meeting room, probably where the staff would eat. Mm-hmm.
Through that?
And an exit back to the courtyard. Right. So that staff can attend, you know. Okay. It's a servant door, as it were, right?
Yeah. What I'd be observing, is there... Okay, there doesn't seem something there. All right, so I go out through that door.
Okay. There's the on the top right there, because I flipped the map upside down. It's just the way they present it.
Where we came
in. Is the gate where you came in. Yep.
All right.
There's the stable across the way.
All right. So I want to wander over to the side.
Okay. So lifting skirts, traipsing through the pond, having a great time, stirring up the piranha goldfish, coming to the other door. So now I owe the others time. You've, like I said, you were caught up to them and you've sort of peeked in.
Yep.
Now, how long does it take you to use your ability? Did you want to use your ability in each room? You stick your head and look for that proverbial once over?
I believe, let me look at it here. It's just a constant.
Okay.
Well, that's not cool at all, is it?
No, that's very neat. I'd have to say that there's nothing really stands out in the servants' quarters.
Yeah.
You know? And someone might call me on something later, but I believe... no, I think you're good. So, at this point, I'd like to call upon Joe Gibson.
Yeah.
Joe, there's something very special about those tarts and cakes and just about everything on the tray.
Yeah.
So, guys... Eating and drinking, making merry.
Fortitude saves.
Save or die.
Human food is disgusting.
I do believe Melba was wandering and busy with the bird, but you guys were making nice. Even Iona Eckhart herself is imbuing this stuff. And we are converting first edition to second edition, doing the best we can. So it might not convert well. It might be cakewalk. It might be overkill. But we're about to find out. Because it's a beta test, we figured, well, why not test the actual fact that not just the players... Now, these are not the final characters. Keep in mind, these character classes are going to be beta, revive, reviewed, and then changed and released in the official advanced class book for second edition by Paizo in the future. And I thought this was a great time for me to dig in and ask somebody else to do my DM work for me and convert a first edition. So hats off and a very special thank you for Mr. Gibson, who took the time over the holiday while I was so busy to dig into this. So, Joe, what can we expect now that they've got, you know, things inside their tummies and a little time has gone by?
Yeah, just a lovely little Fort DC save for anybody who ate or drank anything.
Okay, I will roll for Iona and Traveler and Mr. Dwarf. Num, num, num. Sip, sip, sip. You drank anything. You ate anything. You're rolling. So, fortitude for those, please. And I'm going to look for hers, which I don't see. Oh, here we go.
That is a 25 for Traveler.
Very nice.
How do you add the modifier, Jay?
I just rolled off my character sheet.
You have a plus 13 to your fortitude.
Your fortitude? Yes.
Because he's 7th level. Think about it, Frank. What have you got? You're the fighter. I'm actually afraid of what... come on, get in there. Where's mine? There we go. 14 for Iona.
26.
26. Okay, so a 25, a 26, and a 14. Mr. Gibson, if you please.
So, out of that... The characters have passed.
Okay.
The chambermaid did not. Yep. I'll call her a chambermaid.
I'm a chamberlain.
Okay. Chambermaid, same thing.
No. Chamberlain.
Chamberlain did not pass.
Okay. And I take on what?
1d10 of damage right away.
Okay.
And she is enfeebled.
Oh, okay. That sucks.
So, guys, you're woofing down the food, you know, and there's just a just a little heartburn going on there. You can feel it. You know, you guys feel a little sick to your stomach. This is rich foreign food. But you are at that point. You ever have a meal and wonder if you have food poisoning? I mean, if you do, it's so obvious. But you just get to that point where it's like, I think I'm going to be ill tomorrow, or I think I'm going to be really sick in like an hour or two. But right now, your body is processing and deciding, can it fight this? You guys are probably aware that your, you know, your stomachs are not liking what went in them after 10 minutes. Iona herself pales up a bit under her dusk Osirian skin, Gurundi skin, and is, did you say enfeebled?
Yes.
Okay. She excuse me, gentlemen, I suddenly don't feel so well. Would you please just give me a moment? And she places the book down and with, you know, with wrist to forehead, just kind of staggers out of the room and right back into a halfling who's underneath a desk looking for a secret chamber. Now, whether you found something and pulled something and went ha-ha and are looking, this is where you are, Rob. Okay, well, so like I said, if you found anything or if you have anything, that's irrelevant because like I said, if you do, you got away with it, depending on the rules. If you don't, you're still fighting with a lock. All that right now, we'll catch you up and we'll get back to that, is irrelevant because the Chamberlain suddenly comes into the room and sits down in her desk and sort of looks around and swivels in the chair. You hear papers hit the floor, and then she just reaches over and grabs the waste paper basket and just starts into it. And she is not in good shape.
Is she poisoned?
You don't know. She just comes into the room and just starts heaving into a bucket. Maybe it was a dwarven joke. Maybe the dwarf, you know, pushed his booze on her. Who knows? But you do know that, you know, this waist down view that you got here, this long robe sitting in a chair, and, you know, is not having a really good time.
You know what? Because I'm a divine spellcaster, it's an awesome. I will cast Neutralize Poison because I can literally just go Magic Genie Blink, Neutralize Poison.
Okay. What if she has a disease? What if she has it? Like, I'm just saying, like, if you kind of need to examine said patient, otherwise you're just shooting in the dark, and it seems a bit meta. You know what I'm saying? The woman is ill. This is obvious. There are 10 ways to get ill in this game alone, not factoring in danger. And why would she be ill? You are somewhat familiar with your traveling companions, and poisoning is not their MO.
No, that's,
you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a bit of a
leap. Is it?
Yeah, really. No, I saw the food come into the room, and here's my logic, Chang, not being meta.
Okay.
They take off. He gives me a weird little look, shakes his head no, screws off out of the room, right?
Okay.
And then suddenly she comes back in.
But I specifically stated you told me you wanted to bug her as soon as she didn't take notice of you.
Yeah.
Right?
That's what I mean. They took food and stuff into the room.
Yeah, you were gone.
He wasn't taking it into the room then? Or is that just a mistake on my part? I saw them going down the hallway.
I brought you in, and I said the shift focused to them, and she started meeting and greeting.
Oh, my apologies.
And you're like, I'm out. So okay, this my apologies. Is why I'm being,
I thought I saw them pass me in the hallway.
No, because there was a couple of...
Nope. And I sit
in a different hallway. They came out of the other hallway.
Yeah, I sit quietly and hope to God she doesn't find me.
Okay.
Really don't have much of choices. Pull my towel over my head so nobody can see me. Like,
okay, well, if you want to get out of this room, she is technically occupied a lot. Now, like I said, so here's the meta part. If you found something, would you stay? Or would you want to leave even more? Or if you haven't found something yet...
If I haven't found anything or I've only found partial knowledge... Stay. I'll find a place to hide until I can get more time.
Okay. You could probably slip through the north door wherever that goes, or like I said, there's other furniture and stuff for a little guy like you to hide behind. Sure.
Yeah, getting used to being so tiny is really an adjustment for me, I'll be honest. I'm
That's why you picked the right goal role for the guy to want to sneak around the furniture, right?
How big are you?
2 feet, 11 inches.
Like, monstrous.
You tower over me.
Yeah, wasn't it like the new goblin?
My whole world
like
smells
feet.
Like ass. Like
goblins are like the same size as dwarves. They're like just a little bit. Lower.
Actually, don't you top out at 4 feet?
Yeah,
I guess
dwarves are a little bigger than
still twice my size. You're about 3 feet, three and a half. So we got this incline of people. But no, I will do my best to make myself small and hide.
Okay, so we got smalling hiding. We've got wandering the grounds. We got two gentlemen with heartburn. We got Melba, who refused to be like to be polite and accept treats, but it kind of paid off in the end for Melba.
And do I notice the discomfort that people are having from eating?
That depends. Are you guys Like, you, it, these seventh-level adventures, you know, like, you guys feel it. How you act is up to you.
If it's something that, like, causes damage and makes you enfeebled, it's you're probably not gonna be able to hide it too well unless you're trying.
Do you have the dwarven stomach that
so who failed?
Dolgren?
The iron gut.
The chamberwoman. The chamberwoman. Damn it, Joe. The chamberlain.
Chamberlain
failed. That's it. Nobody else.
Chamberlain failed. The skills that they've passed. But like I said, as Frank's saying, he's well aware that something is, you know, his gut's going over. He's going to be on that shitter soon. It's going right through him.
You know, reaching for that second bite and then it hits you. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Your gut.
Oh, that tastes like I licked the bottom of the dock.
Have you ever had bad KFC? Right. And you have two choices. Either your body accepts it, it goes into your blood, and you get food poisoning, or your body goes, nope. And if you're lucky, you don't throw it up. Your body just starts shooting it through your guts and you will be pooping within the hour. It just goes right through you because your body goes, no, get this the hell out of me. And I think that's where we're going to go. Like I said, not now, not during this encounter or whatever, but you know, later in the day, I'm pretty sure Travelor and Elder Theon is going to find ye old outhouse.
I would like to leap to my feet right now before I forget.
Okay.
Move across the room to where she set that schedule book down.
Yep.
And toss it to Travelor. Make what you kind of that. You know, toss it to him and then kind of move down there just to kind of see what's going on. Make sure she's not keeling over dead. Lady, are you okay in there? You sound distressed.
Okay.
And I'll, you know, kind of belch out some of that crow cake. I mean, no offense about your food and all. I'll not be having seconds.
Okay. Much to your happiness, Arendelle, she's barfing, she's enfeebled, and she's not in her right mind. And maybe the fact that the dwarf comes and goes, hey, you know, are you okay? What's the sense motive in second edition now?
I think it's a society check.
Just under perception, I guess. I think it's just thrown in that one. Yeah, perception, Rob. Perception for Allendale.
Okay, hold on.
Muttering to herself between throw up in the bucket going, how could they? The hospitality, and they, you know. Anyway, thinking that they were left in the room alone. Spike, you know, she probably thinks you guys spiked the booze.
That's a 20.
Yeah, definitely, Allendale. She's like, she probably thinks they spiked the booze because she's like, the tarts are delicious, you know, not blaming the tarts, whatever. The decanter left them alone. And she's remembering, she names one of the halflings who came here. That idiot. And she names one of the halflings, Floyd, left them alone in the room with the decanter of booze. She like, kind of scoots her chair, ass shimmies the rollers to the door, and just opens it so it's ajar, and then says, "For Taldor and glorious conquest!" She just starts barfing into the room. Elder Theoin, you see her two-year response. A head peeks through the door. She yells something like a challenge or some crap, and just pukes on the floor. Immediately to the woman's screeching.
If she's doing that, this is my cue to make it out of this room.
Yep. She's blocking the exit. You want to go to the north?
I'm going north.
Okay. Arendelle is going to run for the north. And we're going to call up the combat tracker, gentlemen, because you called it, Theoin. The statues instantly sort of shake. Now, you guys remember the scene in the very first Harry Potter? The very first Harry Potter, remember the giant stone chess pieces?
Mm-hmm.
That's about how detailed they are, and that's how they move. They suddenly, like, shake to life, lurch forward, and the horse, you know, kind of sets a charge stance. The lance comes down, and the one is, like, 15 feet from you, Theoin, looking to ready a charge. The other one also whips its lance over the other side of the head and lines up Travelor on the couch. And we will see you next time on Dice for Slaughter. Good night, everybody. Say good night, Imatur.
Till next time.